Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a recording of the Bible message that would normally be shared during the Sunday worship service.
While we are unable to meet together for worship, we will publish our podcasts at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and you can also see daily videos on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today.
Good morning. A few weeks ago, as part of our family viewing, we followed a BBC television series called Back in Time for the Weekend. It was a series that followed the Ashby Hawkins family, a middle-class family who agreed to give up their 21st century technology and travel back in time to discover what life was like over the last 60 years. Each week, the family would live through one of the decades in that period, beginning in the 1950s. Sadly for me, I could remember most of what was shown on the programmes. What was funny was the total shock on the faces of our girls as they discovered items and saw things from the old days that they'd never seen in their own lifetime. Things like black and white TV from the 60s, simple ping pong style video games from the 70s, video recorders the size of suitcases to record TV programmes, record players, telephones with dials, very modest cars with no complex things within them. My favourite was when they showed the Commodore 64 computer. I had a Commodore 64 computer. And it was very obvious to our girls that this was totally beyond comprehension compared to the laptop that they use nowadays. You know, it was all a far cry from the life that they experience in 2020 with the benefits of modern technology. During the lockdown, we've been glad to have access to a screen in our hand, haven't we? Over the last few months, especially whilst the girls have been shut indoors, I seem to have received more little messages on my phone from them asking for more screen time. Dad, can I have more screen time? Well, I've been glad to give it whilst they've been in lockdown, though in normal circumstances I might not have been too happy to. You know, our technological devices are helpful. We use them to remind ourselves of what needs doing, where we need to be. They help us communicate in ways we would otherwise be unable to. They can also be useful in our spiritual journey. We can find a Bible verse easily online or use a Bible reading app on our smartphones. We have facilities to share our prayer needs promptly and widely and quickly. So yes, our devices are helpful. And whilst I'm grateful for all the massive strides in technology that have come our way in my lifetime, I also have to acknowledge that the screen in my pocket is not always beneficial to me. The theologian J.R. Packer says, one of the most basic biblical insights is that whatever controls and shapes one's life is in effect the God one worships. Let me read that to you again. One of the most basic biblical insights is that whatever controls and shapes one's life is in effect the God one worships. There are times when our devices, our technological tools, help, resource and inspire us. But there are also times when we need to put them down. This morning I want to look at the spiritual discipline of unplugging. In Mark chapter 6 we read the familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000. And if you have your Bible with you, perhaps you would turn with me to Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. And we read this: the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have the chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place, but many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the five loaves and two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the two fish among them. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. So here in Mark 6, we read the familiar story of the feeding of the 5,000. And the thing that gives rise to this story is this idea of unplugging. The disciples had returned to Jesus, having been sent out by him to preach in the villages. And having returned to him, they were telling Jesus all that they had done. But the crowds were making it impossible for them to have quality time together, catching up. So Jesus says to the apostles, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." They go away by boat, but the crowds are ahead of the game. They work out where it will be that the boat will have to land, and they are gathered ready to continue as before, this time in a new place, the moment the boat comes to shore. It was late. Jesus has compassion for the crowd, and so what does he do? He tells the disciples to feed them, and from there we get the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And so for a moment we read this text and our focus becomes the act of the feeding. We forget the context that gave rise to it. Jesus told his disciples that they were to come away. What was he saying to them? He was actually saying to them, "I want you to unplug. I want you to unplug. I want you to take the plug out. I want you to have a rest." In her spiritual disciplines handbook, Adele Alberg Calhoun makes the following comment: "Unplugging recognizes that personal beings are created for personal interaction by a personal God. We need to be in the presence of each other. Digital connections aren't enough to keep us healthy. We need to be touched. We need non-verbal signals. We need uninterrupted spaces in our lives for the presence of God and for the presence of others." I like that last sentence. We need uninterrupted spaces in our lives for the presence of God and the presence of others. And so this was what Jesus was suggesting to the apostles. Come, get some uninterrupted space in your life for the presence of God. It's time to pull the plug. Come, get that space. When you think about it, humanity's very first sin there in Genesis was pursuing more than God intended for us. And unfortunately, we have a habit of trying to do that. We fill our lives with more than we need, more than we can do. You know, when I'm asked, "How are you?" it's likely that my response at the minute will be, "I'm busy." And it's true, I am. But I can use being busy as an excuse for not slowing down and giving more attention to the people in my life. I'm busy. I haven't got time for this. I'm busy. I haven't got time for that. Jesus was busy in his ministry. He was trying to accomplish a lot in only a few years. He was constantly surrounded by crowds of people, demanding more and more of him, as we've seen here in Mark chapter 6. Yet even Jesus modelled the need to slow down and rest. And here he encourages his disciples to do the same. When we intentionally slow down our life, we focus more on what's really important and we see God more clearly in every aspect of our life. And so to slow down intentionally is to practice the discipline of simplicity. Not only are we to practice the discipline of unplugging, we're to practice the discipline of simplicity. Richard Foster, in his respected work, Celebration of Discipline, says, "The Christian discipline of simplicity is inward reality that results in an outward lifestyle. Simplicity sets us free to receive the provision of God as a gift that is not ours to keep and can be freely shared with others." The spiritual discipline of simplicity is to intentionally shed the things of this earth that are keeping you from fully experiencing the life God desires for you. You know, when we truly believe that Jesus Christ is our everything, then we'll be able to live in simplicity, knowing that with Christ we have all that we need. Simplicity is letting go so that we can create margin and space in our lives to experience God more fully. It's a simple truth, and yet we miss this simple truth so often. Tim Keller famously said, "We are more flawed and sinful than we ever dared believe, yet we are more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope at the same time." I love that quote. I'm going to read it to you again. "We are more flawed and sinful than we ever dared believe, yet we are more loved and accepted than we ever dared hope at the same time." In this simple little quote, Keller sums up the gospel as good news of gracious acceptance. And yet it seems to fly in the face of what our world seems to suggest. Our world seems to suggest otherwise, that we must work for acceptance. And so rather than simplicity, we seek busyness. We seek toil in a world of comparison, competition and insecurity, in the hope that we might receive validation. We forget we are loved and accepted more than we ever dared to hope for, and instead we pursue our acceptance through work. And you know, it's in this busyness that we neglect to feed our faith. Let's be honest, do we expect to experience God's presence without ever turning towards him? God is God. He's worthy of our praise. But he doesn't always receive our full attention, let alone the adoration that's due to him. Grace has been offered. He's given it, as Keller said. Love has been given freely. And yet we don't always embrace it. We don't always dwell on it, meditate on it, cherish it, take it in, because we're chasing the things that distract us. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, that sometimes the things we own end up owning us. I wonder, what in your life is taking your time and attention from God? What's claiming too much of your time and focus? How can we practice simplicity at this time? How can we declutter our schedule and create more margin for God in our lives? How can we cut out whatever adds stress to our lives? What do we need to pull the plug on? And how can we practice the discipline of simplicity instead? In a few weeks' time, my mobile phone contract comes to an end, and I will be entitled to an upgrade. I love the way these companies refer to contract renewal as an upgrade. Will I be getting a better deal from my provider for being loyal to them for so many years? Well, not if recent experiences are anything to go by. I decided to check this out again during the last week, and so I went through my account login to access my account with my provider, and there in my account there are deals for upgrades for existing customers. So I put in what I wanted, what I was looking for, got the total it was going to cost me at the end, and I jotted it down. I then logged out of my account, and on the same company website, I just went on as though I was a new customer, and I looked for the deals that I could get as a new customer. Surprise, surprise, there was no difference whatsoever in the amount of money they would charge me for the same deal. Loyalty? Rewards for loyalty? I don't think so. Therefore, in a few weeks' time, forget the loyalty. I'm going to look for better deals elsewhere. You see, the word upgrade for me suggests something better. We are grading up, not grading down. Today, I've suggested in the message that is a simple message from Mark chapter 6, that it's time to start pulling the plug. Slow down. Practice the discipline of simplicity. And by doing so, I think this brings me to my third and final point. That when we pull the plug, when we slow down and practice the discipline of simplicity, then we can enjoy the upgrade instead. When we pull the plug, when we do practice simplicity, then I do believe we experience upgrade in our life. Things get better. In our always connected world, it's important to unplug and focus on human face-to-face interactions. That's been very difficult over the last few months, hasn't it? We know that. And we've been grateful of the technology to provide the link we've needed. But actually, as things now start to ease, it's important to remember we need each other. And the deepest connections are formed in person. They're not formed over the internet. Zoom has been great. I've loved it as much as anyone else. But do you know what? It doesn't replace meeting people face to face. The secret to a great life is making the most of each moment. The fact that we don't always focus on the original context for Mark chapter 6 as we read it earlier is because Jesus encourages his apostles to come to a quiet place to rest. And yet, moments later, something happens that Jesus cannot ignore. He makes the most of the moment. What happens? The people follow. They're hungry. It's late. They need food. And Jesus has compassion and so decides to make the most of the moment by feeding them all. The original purpose gets forgotten. They'd gone away to get rest, to get quietness, to get solitude. And yet this new moment comes and Jesus seizes the opportunity. In fact, throughout his lifetime, Jesus was always seizing moments for eternity. Wherever we look, we see Jesus chatting with an outcast by a well or stopping in the press of a crowd to engage with the hopeless. He notices the people that are overlooked. He shares meals with moral outcasts, tax collectors. He dines with those who are hated. He speaks life to those who are guilty. Can you imagine if at that scene Jesus with the woman at the well, he's telling her all about him being the water of life. Can you imagine while they're in dialogue, if halfway through the dialogue, Jesus had texted Peter, had he been able to, and ignored the conversation in hand? Jesus would never have done that. And yet, how many times do we do it? When we're engaged in a conversation, have we got one eye on the smartphone or one eye on the email that we're tapping out while trying to engage with another person. You know, Jesus was never distracted by momentary diversions. And yet so often we allow our relationships to suffer because the screen in our pocket becomes the easier way or the focus of our attention. We forget to seize the moment and instead become distracted. You know, it's easy to text, isn't it? Text is one of the most simplest things. A few words and you've responded. You don't have to formalise it or do anything with it. You can just have one sentence. But you know, it's far less meaningful than a phone conversation. An email's faster. But who of us all doesn't prefer to receive a handwritten letter? Which is better? You know, I think we should be looking always to upgrade the way that we do things to deepen our relationships. And so perhaps the next time you're going to text somebody a quick text, why not think about calling instead? It might be a few minutes longer, but at least in that conversation you can inquire as to how they are, talk about the things, deepen the relationship. Or if you're planning to call, why not meet when social distancing allows? Why not have a cup of coffee together? Upgrading the experience. This morning the message I've prepared applies to me. And there's much practicing what I preach here to be done. But hopefully the thoughts will apply to you also. This morning I've tried to look at the spiritual discipline of unplugging. Jesus said to his disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." We all need uninterrupted spaces in our lives for the presence of God and the presence of others. So how are you going to unplug today to create these spaces? How am I going to do that? What in your life is taking your time and attention from God? What is claiming too much of your time and focus? How can you and I practice simplicity today? We are to make the most of each moment, just as Jesus did. So let's upgrade the way we do things. Let's not go for the simple and most convenient, but let's upgrade the way we do things in order to deepen our relationships. So my message this morning is three simple phrases. 1, pull the plug. 2, practice the discipline of simplicity. 3, enjoy the upgrade. Let's create that uninterrupted space in our life for the presence of God today. As we listen just now, as we take time to reflect, let's listen to that beautiful old hymn. Mid all the traffic of the ways, come, create that quiet place, Lord, within, that I may enjoy that uninterrupted space in my life for your presence today. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.